Well, hello everyone. Welcome to this special new stream where I have a number of housekeeping items. Stuff about Roe versus Wade and so on. I will comment on unpopular opinions tonight. This stream is going to be to talk about some recent goings on, like the release of my new book, The Populist Delusion, the Forbidden Texts audio edition, and also some recent interviews that I've been on. I'm not in the best of moods, folks. It has to be said. Maybe it's the keto, so I'm even more grumpy than usual. So don't annoy me, chat. Don't annoy me. Okay, so let us start then. As you may know, my new book, The Populist Delusion, is out. There's a little ad I can play for it. Here we go.
There's a lot of great information and history in this book, and even a mystery trick that you can learn at the end. So take it from me, Kenneth Michael Benbow Blake. This is a great book to read, so pick it up at your local library now.
So there we go. You can pick up The Populist Delusion. Now, one of the things that I've been pleasantly surprised by is how well this book has sold. The first run apparently sold out in 2 hours on Imperium Press. It's also been doing well on Amazon. I haven't actually checked it recently, but a couple of days back, this was the case. Let me just show you this, because it first came up that I was number three in this particular chart here, but then I thought, well, I want this guy Rachman. If you have a look, The Age of the Strongman by Rachman, I wanted to defeat him. And after I shared this a few times, sure enough, there I was at number one in the elections and referendums section, which is somewhat ironic given the content of the book. But there we go, and that's neat, because look, forever and more, I can say this. Look, we're number one bestseller. Look, I can claim that the book is a number one bestseller now. So I don't know what the situation is over on Amazon, but if you've got the book and if you've read it, do leave reviews there, 5-star reviews, obviously, to help the book along. I don't exactly know what's happening there. Some people have speculated that leftists may be buying the book because of the title, The Populist Delusion, because they see populism as something bad, of course. And therefore, they may have picked it up thinking it will confirm all of their beliefs. So I did quite deliberately choose the title in that way. So that's the first thing. The Populist Delusion is out. It's a distillation of elite theory across all the different thinkers. And you should check that out. Also, while I'm here, I might as well say that this is the very last day. I did say May Day. I think that was yesterday, wasn't it? Let's make this the very last day of the sale, Easter 25. That code will not work after midnight tonight. So if you're planning to use it, you might as well use it today. Okay, what else has been going on? Well, in addition to the book coming out, there was also the release of the Forbidden Text audio edition. And one of the reasons I did this as a stream is because I wanted to be able to share with you what that looks like. Let me just go in there. So this is Substack, and you can see there's Yavin and Morgoth and someone called Matt Parrott, and Imperium Press, and many other people are in there. Alex Kashuda, that's Dave, that's the Shaman. Oh, look, he's talking about Carlisle. I better take a watch of that. If you have a look at the Forbidden Text now, I've uploaded audio editions of more than half of the articles that are up there already. The others will follow. once they're sent through to me by the narrator, who was, or who is, the daughter of Albion. And so let's have just a little listen. Tell me if you can hear this.
The Children of the Ashes, Making Peace with Post-Modernity, by the Academic Agent. We are all children of the ashes, victims of civilization in a death spiral, who have grown up in a world mostly lacking in moral and spiritual guidance and dominated by the reign of quantity. People on our side of things read René Gagnon and Julius Evola.
So I thought, well, I am a shitty narrator at the best of times, as anybody who subscribes to this channel knows. I thought, well, what better way to get in the daughter of Albion herself, who's got a lovely voice, of course. And I thought, well, this will be a nice little value add for those people, maybe, who don't have the time to read the articles. You can stick them on. They'll play on a little podcast app if you want it that way, or they'll just play straight on your what I have done on my iPhone is that you can actually press and hold and make certain pages part of your homepage. I've done that with all sorts of sites. Once you know that, it's as good as an app, to be honest. So that's what I've done on my own iPhone, and it plays great. So let's have a listen to this one.
Assessing the alternatives to Clear Them Out by the Academic Agent. In this article, I will explore my reasons for seeing no alternatives to Clear Them Out as a strategy for dissidents.
Yes, very good. Okay, so now that's no extra. There's no extra charge. So if you're already, a paid subscriber to that, you'll get the DOA recordings too. A lot of people were asking for like audio versions, and I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I might as well do it properly. And now we have the lovely tones of DOA on there. I haven't actually listened to them all. Let's have a listen to one more. Shall we let's have a look?
Unreality, Madness, and the Ideological Hug Box, or The Setting of the Big Mac Sun, by the Academic Agent. As the Empire of Lies tries to deplatform Russia and all information coming out of Ukraine that does not conform to its narrative.
Yes, excellent. Okay, I'm actually very pleased with that. She's done a fantastic job. So I cannot disclose the business side of that deal. Will, it's cheeky for asking, but yes. Okay. There's one more thing I wanted to mention on this little stream, which is that after the book has come out, I wanted to actually go on a bit of a publicity tour, appearing on various different shows. I haven't finished that yet. I'll probably appear on a few more shows. Maybe I'll go on Lions of Liberty. I know that dude from back in my wrestling fandom days, believe it or not. I might take a trip up to the Lotus Eaters to talk about it. There's various other shows I might go on to talk about the book. But I've done three interviews already, okay? And because a lot of these places I've been interviewed, kind of like, I don't know what it is about this, about many of these voices in the wider dissident right, but they seem to have a bigger presence on podcasts than they do on YouTube. And I don't know why that is. So, some of them do have YouTube channels, but it seems like their main thing is the podcast. And I wanted to make people aware of how to find these interviews that I did. So the first one I did was on something called the Subversive Podcast with Alex Kashuta. Alex Kashuta. I've given a link. When you click that link, you get to this, and you can either listen now or watch now. Now, the thing to bear in mind with the Subversive podcast is that she has a Patreon and she releases all of the episodes early. Okay. So if you want to listen to that interview with me right now, you'd have to pay to her Patreon, and you'd get that interview as well as all the other ones she's done. She actually has a lot of good content there. She's done, she's had Thomas 777 on there, and she's had lots of people on there. So I ended up, I've ended up giving her a paid sub on Substack. But if you don't want to do that, she does actually release the episodes for free eventually. I think there's like a month's delay on there. So just keep on like looking out for that interview on the Subversive podcast. She has a YouTube channel too, which I think comes up if you press watch now. And the interview will come up on there eventually as well. So maybe just like, if you don't give her a paid sub, at least subscribe to her YouTube channel and you'll catch it on there. But I would actually recommend it. It's a really good show, and she's a good host. Although, I mean, as I've explained before, somehow on that interview, I ended up speaking for like an hour straight, and she word in. So that's my. I'm trying to be better at that. I'm going to stop to give the interview a chance to say stuff to make it more of a back and forth, because I've realized it's very easy to monologue if you're an interview guest. So I don't know if that's like bad etiquette on my part or what, but I actually thought it was a really good interview with Alex, and because we talked about our journey and how we got here. So we went right back to 2016 and came forward to like how it came to be that I ended up writing this book, The Populist Delusion, and how we've ended up in our positions right now. So that's a good interview that goes over some ground that we don't usually talk about on my shows, for example. I've actually come around to the idea that in doing these outside appearances, anyone who's been following my channel for that, for any length of time, may not realize I don't actually do that many guest spots. It's actually quite a novelty for me to do these outside appearances. And it's been interesting because we have like different type of conversation than the ones I would usually have on my own streams for various different reasons. So, because I'm explaining a bit more of the ABCs, and we're talking in a kind of more introductory way, I guess. So, and we end up getting into all sorts of things that I wouldn't usually get into. Then the next show that I did was called The Pete Quinones Show. Now, he's on YouTube as well, but it seems like his main thing is the podcast. And I don't know why that is. I've accused them of being hipsters on Twitter, but I don't know, maybe like podcasts are seen to be more legit or something in these sorts of spheres. I don't know. Maybe I should have a podcast, but the best I will offer is just an audio version of the shows I already do, to be honest. I did have this idea that I wanted to convert the entire back catalog into being podcasts and offer it somewhere, off YouTube. It's a lot of work that I may have to like hire someone to do it for me, because I can't be bothered. But as you can see, episode 730 there of the Pete Quinones Show is me talking about my book. I thought that was a great interview as well, even if I say so myself. I did monologue a fair bit on that show, but I remember my mother sent me a text saying, "Oh, I wish you were as professional as that on all your shows," she said. So, obviously my parents liked it. But anyway, we were talking about my book, and we got into some core theory there. And I thought it was pretty good. And as you can see, Pete Quinones has a good show as well. Like the next episode of Thomas Seven on. Previous episode had Aaron McIntyre and Curtis Yarvin on. So, Pete has some good guests. And obviously now he has the very best guests, like me. and I enjoy his show too. I've been kind of obviously, with 700 odd shows, it's a massive back catalogue. But I've been listening to some of his other recent shows, and he's a good host, to be honest. So that was another show I did, and then I did just last night. I did Cotto Gottfried. Now Gottfried was not on, but Cotto conducted it as an interview. And they do this weird thing where they record their episodes on YouTube, but then they're immediately taken down, and they put them back on to their podcast, which is on iTunes or Spotify and all the other places. And as you can see, the Academic Agent episode is not up yet. He said he would put it up next week, next Monday, I think it goes live. So, oh, there you go. Look, the Amy Wax episode. I met Amy Wax at a conference thing before, interestingly. But if you wait a whole week, my episode should be out on the 9th of May, the 9th of May. And that conversation actually went on. It was almost 3 hours, actually. It was a really long, episode. So, yes. So that was the third interview I did. If I do any more, I'll let you know. But for the time being, I've done those three little guest spots to help promote the book. And I was having a little look in the chat and so on, and you can't just assume that everyone who watches those shows already watches me. It's not actually the case. There were quite a few people in all three of the chats who were like, oh, I haven't heard of this AA guy. I might give him a subscribe. If you're one of those people, by the way, welcome. Pleased to have you around. You won't hear me say that very often. I'm much more likely to tell you to get out and tell you to behave in the chat. All right, a couple of quick super chats have come in, and then I will get out of here, and I'll be back for Unpopular Opinions. This was just meant to be kind of, rather than making three videos, I just thought I'd make one quick stream to get this stuff in. Plebiscite the Don said, I'm halfway through the book, and it's a great consolidation of the elite theory canon. Could you elaborate on how much research you did and how long it took to write this book? It took a lot of research, Plebiscite. I have dozens upon dozens of books, secondary literature that I consulted. And it was a pretty agonizing process, to be honest. I usually work pretty quickly. But for whatever reason, the book took a long time to do. The basis of the book is, I guess you'd say, like the script portion of the Foundations of Politics course. The Foundations of Politics course was arduous. Do you remember Dee was calling it my great whale? Because even after the book, the quote-unquote book part or the book was written, all of the rest of it was absolute hell. I had to record it. Like the course probably took like double the work of the book, to be honest, maybe even triple the work of the book. A course is a massive endeavor to put together, which is why I've been running the Academic Agency since middle of 2020, and how many courses have I written? Seven, nine. How many courses have I written? Six, maybe. I did economics, politics, research, and the trivium. Yeah, six. So I've managed to do like six courses in 2 years. If I could do them any quicker, I would. But they're a massive undertaking. Other people have said like, oh, I want to do a course on this, and I want to do a course on that. And when push comes to shove, they don't actually come through with it because it's so much work. The core research was done for the book. When I was doing the course, I wouldn't like to put an estimate on how many hours it took. It's a long time. Any book is a massive undertaking. I'm actually getting a little bit worried because the deadline on my next book, The Prophets of Doom, is due for December, and I haven't started it yet. And it's May. So I've given myself, you know, just over, how many months is that? It's not long enough, basically. I've started to stockpile the books I need to write the next one. I may have to make some massive changes to my initial plan to get that book done, to be honest. Yeah, you know, I've actually written 7 books to date. Maybe one day I will do a stream looking at all 7 of them and talking about the process of each of them. You know, one of the books I wrote in a week. Several of the other books, I mean, most books take about 2 years from start to finish, you know, from the initial idea to actually like it coming out. It's about usually about a 2-year process. There's a lot of there's something that if you're a writer of any description, you'll probably be familiar with this. There's something called a gestation process. So everybody thinks about the writing of a book as the actual writing down part, right? The writing down part, or even like the research part of it. But there's actually something else that happens where you just have to have the ideas in your head and you have to walk around with them. And you're not actually doing anything. You might be doing other stuff. But there's that gestation process in and of itself. Like the idea needs to have room to grow. And that is almost as important and time-consuming as the actual work part of it, if that makes any sense. And because it's invisible, a lot of people don't give it the importance or the recognition it's due, I think. I actually supervised a PhD thesis that was all about that. It was called Writing Up and Thinking Down. A fantastic piece of research as well, I thought. But people are making jokes about birth there. I mean the gestation of the germ of the idea in your mind. Probably even more important for creative writers than it is for non-fiction writers like me. All right, what else? Let me have a look then at the other super chats people have sent through, and then we'll get out of here. This is not going to be a long stream, friends. Just a quick kind of announcement type video, but I didn't want to spam people's feeds with 3 separate videos, so I just thought I'd put them all in one stream like this. Colonel Crayon says, I just finished your Foundations of Writing course. Thank you for learning me good grammar, coming in handy with me uni exams, also for the Marvel stream. I do hope that the Foundations of Writing course helped your grammar more than that, mate. I actually think that the Trivium course are probably going to be the most useful to you on a day-to-day basis, especially if you're at university. I strongly encourage, I mean, not just if you're in university, in any walk of life, I would say that the writing and the logic course in particular should always be of help. But also that rhetoric course is interesting as well. There's a lot of like hidden marketing material in the rhetoric course. I kind of consulted with Pharaoh while I was making it as well, who's you know, familiar with many of the dark arts. So I still recommend the Trivium. You know, if you want to dip your toe in to my courses, the Trivium is a good one. Also that Foundations of Research course, it's only £50. And currently even less than that. I forgot to exclude Foundations of Research from the Easter 25 sale. So people have been picking it up for £37 something. And every time that happens, I go, no, I forgot to exclude Foundations of Research. But anyway, I can't change that now. It's only going to go to midnight. But that Foundations of Research course is, I also think, one that should like massively boost your ability to execute essays and do research, especially if you're at university, but also if you have to do research in any other walk of life as well. Obviously not scientific research, though. That's a whole different ball game. I'm talking about kind of core academic research skills, as opposed to Bunsen burner and experiments and so on. Grim PFP says, good crown on this channel, good people, support from Norway. He then says, good crowd on this channel, good people, support from Norway. Just a bit of a typo there. I think I have a very good crowd on this channel. Even though the tone of my voice may suggest otherwise, it means so much, Grim. It means so much. Darth Kaloon says, just bought your book yesterday. Well, thank you very much, Darth. I hope you enjoy it. I'm glad that lots of people are buying it. I think it says important stuff. Otherwise, I wouldn't written it. Colonel Crayon says, beat the minions at the press until they hurry up. Based Autism says, Star Wars month when? I don't know if I could carry a Star Wars month. The reason there's been such a delay on the Star Wars stream we talked about is because really, in order to do a Star Wars stream, I need to get deep into the lore and the research on Star Wars. And I need to be in the mood for it. And I was saying on Twitter yesterday that I'm very much a creature. I'm very mercurial, as people say. I'm either all in on something, or I blow, or I'm either all in or I'm nothing, right? And sometimes my enthusiasm for something just dies overnight. For example, and the silliest of things can make that happen. Like, for example, during Batman month, the audio issues I had on the third episode kind of like killed my enthusiasm for it as well, kind of pissed me off. And then I didn't want to do it anymore. So I am very hot and cold in that manner. So when it comes to stuff like Star Wars, I need to strike while the iron is hot, because trying to drag myself through it when I'm not up for it will make for a painful experience. I think I need to be all in on the Star Wars, and at the moment I'm not all in on it. When the fancy takes me, then we'll have to strike. This is why I'm always so irritated at the creeping managerialism at some of the other characters around this channel. They always want to plan things. They always want to do things like 6 weeks in advance and things like that. And they don't understand. You can't schedule someone who's of my nature. I'm a very whimsical character, and I don't like feeling penned into like a 10 week schedule. I like to be able to move on the fly a bit more. So Colonel Crayon says, we'll do rhetoric next, law degree. Rhetoric will be, I guess, if you're training to be a barrister or something like that, some of those things will come in handy. Certainly, actually, when I was in touch with my barrister, when I was seeing his kind of argumentation methods and the way that he thinks and so on, I recognize a lot of the rhetoric and the logic in there as well. It seems like of all the people in our society, they're the people who actually are closest to the core skills of the trivium, in a strange way. So, all right, I'm not going to linger here. Respawn says, more support from Norway. You're doing great work. Well, thank you very much for that, Respawn. And thank you very much for giving the money in Great British Pounds as well. Much appreciated. Thank you. English Loyalist says, AA, please do a book on McMahon territory buys. there are actually several very good books on that already, English Loyalist. I don't have my wrestling books here. They're in the garage, as you may imagine. But I seem to remember Tim Hornbaker was the go-to guy for like NWA Territory Day stuff. Jimmy Davis says, for Deepest Lore 46, Andy Warhol Part 1. Oh yeah, while I'm here, I can actually share something that I've been working on. Don't tell Dee and Pharaoh about this, but I've been working on something. Let me just show you. Hold on a minute. Just before I go, hold on. I had a bit of a crash. Hold on. Hold on. Hopefully people can still hear this. Right. I'm just opening up Excel a second. I've been working on something that should be of some interest to people. I haven't finished yet, but I will. Okay, get this. This is my top secret project, folks. So don't tell Dee or Pharaoh about it. I've made a spreadsheet of all of the. I did this while the T.S. Eliot stream was on, just in kind of in the background because I was just producing that stream. So I thought, well, while I'm listening to this, it was a great episode as well. I thought I would itemize every episode of Deepest Lore, the title, the air date, the guests who were on, the view count, and the topic. I've got all the way down until 66. I can tell you that by 66 episodes in, I'd done 17 shows solo. Dee had been on 18, Hat had been on 9, and Pharaoh had been on 27. And you can see, you know, there's been 14 art streams, 9 advert streams, 4 on the State of Culture, 2 on Tony Blair, 2 on comedy, 8 on propaganda. So I'm, you know, 1 on literature at that point. By the time I finish that, this will be a good resource to be able to navigate around Deepest Lore. Autists have made them for Unpopular Opinions and for Cigar Stream, but nobody ever bothered to do them for Deepest Lore, so I thought I'd do it myself. So there we go. It's my top secret project. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. I'll see you later on for Deepest Lore. Join the channel, buy a mug. Most importantly of all, get out.